Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Why don't you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got a lot of information for you tonight, so I'm going to be teaching tonight, but that's okay. I'm not much of a preacher anyway. I'm usually fair to middling on teaching. Amen. So I'll stick with what I know, and I think we'll all be better off for it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to look tonight in Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at two verses here. Jesus is speaking to us, and since starting in verse 13, he says this. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Amen? Hallelujah. So Jesus has given us two examples here of two different types of people. Amen. The one who goes in by the broad way, or you could say like this, the easy route. I'm all for the easy route. Come on, I'm not into wanting to struggle, wanting to fight, wanting to do this or that. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus says that way leads to destruction. But he said that narrow is the way. Narrow is the gate. Amen? Hallelujah. And difficult is the way. And that's actually what it says in the Amplified. It says, but in verse 14, it says, "But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straightened and compressed that leads away to life. And there are few who find it." I imagine so. Amen? When you just think of it that way, yeah, who wants to deal with that? Amen. But let me tell you something, folks. Jesus is telling us that there's a way that leads to life, and it's not going to be the easy route. It's not going to be a way that is just all, you know, fun and games. And whether we like it or not, there is a fight to fight. Amen. And the thing of it is that the church for generations now have not been putting on their boxing gloves and ready to get in the ring and defeat a defeated foe. We've let a defeated foe run all over us. Do you see that? Amen. But the way that God has wanted us to get into eternal life, or the kind of life that God lives, the Zoe type of life that he lives, amen. There's going to be pressures involved. There's going to be some things that you're going to have to do that sometimes aren't the easiest things to do. Amen. And so, you know, as I was reading that, the Lord gave me this thing, and that's the reason why I even went ahead and done this, because there's something that the world is lacking today that the church has. And we need to start expounding it out more than we have been. Amen? And as I was reading that scripture, I don't even know how long ago it's been, he said, enter by the narrow gate. He told me this. He said, truth is that narrow gate. Truth. Amen? Hallelujah. The one thing that the world is lacking today is truth. Real truth. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a lot of stuff that people are, you know, listening to. They're setting their lives by it. They go by it. Amen? But it is not actually truth. Amen? And we're going to look at some things about truth tonight. So just bear with me a little bit on this. I'm kind of mishmashing a lot of things together here. But it says that in verse 14 again, it says difficult is the way. The word difficult means to be crowded. To be crowded. Do you ever try to push through a crowd to get to somewhere? You know, years ago whenever Black Friday meant that you had to get out of your house and go shopping at stores. Amen. And there were many times that Kay and I, we'd bundle up the kids when they were young. They didn't have a choice. They didn't want to go, but it didn't matter. They were going. Amen. And we'd drive all the way to Evansville. I mean, the sun would just barely start coming up. And we'd already be on the road coming to Evansville. Just smiles on our faces. The kids back there, you know how kids are. Amen. Then you get to these places, these stores, because you already had it mapped out what you're going to do. And you go in there, and you thought you got there early. No, you didn't get there early. You got there late because they were already there at 2:00 in the morning, waiting at the door, sleeping bags wrapped around them, amen, thermoses of coffee or whatever, waiting for that store to open, and you're about 25 deep. Everybody's nose is pushed up against them doors. I mean, you know, you understand? You get the picture, don't you? Here you are back there, and they told you on the one thing you wanted, a limited amount available. Yeah. Amen? So what are you going to do? You're going to push through the crowd. You're going to get your way up there little by little. You might be polite at first and say, oh, excuse me, but after a while, no, it's just, ooh. You know, and you just get up there the best you can. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way it is. Truth is this pressurized place where you're going to have to make a decision whether or not you're going to stay with God, do what God says, or you're going to kind of maybe mosey over and see what that broad way looks like. Amen. Hey, we've all done it, so, you know, you don't have to feel guilty or whatever. We've all done it. Amen. But he said if you want to get to real life, you're going to have to use truth to get there. Amen. You're going to have to use truth to get there. Praise God. Because all these other people, they're just going there with, hey, you know, we'll just follow the crowd. Wherever the crowd's going, that's where we'll go. Amen? Anything that's not going to, you know, personally cost me a whole lot. Amen? You remember the time when, you know, there was a plague in Israel and David was going to buy this threshing floor? Remember that? Amen? In 1 Chronicles? Amen? And what was his name? Ornan, I think was his name, something like that. Amen? He told King David, he said, I'll give you everything you want. You don't have to pay me nothing. You can have the floor, you can have the oxen, you can have, you know, everything for the sacrifice, anything you want. And David said, no way. He said, I'm not going to offer anything to God that doesn't cost me anything. Amen? See, there's going to be a cost involved. If you really want to have the things that God wants you to have, there's a cost involved in this. And that cost is walking into truth. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't want to say everything at one time. Amen. Hallelujah. But walking in the truth. And that might be a little foreign. Amen. Because maybe we're not so used to having to deal with, you know, pressurized situations or anything like that. But you got to make this what is called a conviction. It's a conviction in your life. Well, what is a conviction? A conviction is a belief that cannot be changed or even slightly altered. There's no compromise involved. See, that's what the world always wants, compromise. But a conviction does not compromise. Amen. Who you are and who I am in Christ, that can't be up to bargain with. This is an absolute. Amen. It's rooted in your heart because you believe in it with all your heart and because it's changed your life. Whenever Jesus became my Savior, my life totally changed. Amen. I remember that day. I remember how it was. Whenever I said the sinner's prayer, and instantly everything that seemed wrong with me, things I didn't even realize, now all of a sudden weren't there anymore. Amen. My burden had changed, like Pastor was talking about a while ago. It was no longer the burden of sin, but it was just the burden of keeping myself pure. Amen? Keeping myself ready for God to use. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you first get born again, your thinking isn't all what it should be about how God operates in your life. Amen? And you'll do fine until you mess up that first time. And then all of a sudden, it's just like everything just went out the window. My salvation's gone. Amen? Everything that God had done for me is now gone because I've sinned. I've taken my place that I used to have and I've thrown it to the wayside now. I guess it's like I've cast, you know, my pearls before swine. Amen? But something took place in me as I started to keep meditating on the Word of God. Things started to change. Now, you couldn't talk me out of my salvation for anything. Amen? It's just not going to happen. Because I've meditated in the Word enough, then now it's a conviction. It is now the truth of my life. Amen. And so even if I would mess up, which I do, ask Kay, she'll tell you. Yeah, he does. Amen. I know that there's someone in me who's greater than the thing I just did. That's truth. And I live by that. I live by that now. I don't live by all the, oh, I wish I had of's. I live by what He has said about me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, let's go and look at this in John's Gospel. Let's go to chapter 18. John 18. We're talking about truth is the narrow gate. Truth is the way that you're going to get into the eternal glorious life that God wants for you. Amen. And we all know this, so I'm not telling you any scriptures that you don't already know, because that would be, why would I want to do that? Amen. But here it is, where when Jesus is brought before Pilate, amen, he's been accused of heresy, being accused of saying that he's God and all these other things. Now let's look at this in verse 33, chapter 18. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Now look at this next verse of scripture. This was really interesting to me. Jesus answered and said, "Are you speaking for yourself about this? Or did others tell you this concerning me? Is this what you believe? Or have you just been listening to other people? Is this what you're saying? Are you calling me this? Are you calling me a king because that's exactly what you believe?" Amen. That reminds me of whenever Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? Amen. He said, well, some say that you're, you know, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. And then he asked him this. He said, but who do you say I am? What's your conviction? What's on the inside of you? Amen. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. What's our conviction? Who do we say that Jesus is to us? Amen? Do we kind of skirt around the issues? Or whenever somebody confronts us with something, that just happened to me today. A person and I were talking, and he said something that I just, no, that's not right. And so I had to say, I said, I have to tell you, I disagree with you. Amen. He said, well, it's science. I said, well, what's science nowadays? Amen. Sorry. No offense. I just don't agree with you. Amen. We've got to have a conviction whenever someone says, and you've had somebody say something to you before, and you say, that's not right. But do we just let it go? Do we just let them continue to think that they're right with this? Or do we give them an opposing view? The right view. The Bible view on these things. Amen? Hallelujah. So he asked you, he said, is this what you believe, or have you just been listening to the crowd out there, being pressured by them, swaying you to call me this, amen, so that I, you know, you would accuse me of being a false king. Amen. We got to think about these things. What are we believing? Hallelujah. Then Jesus said this, and we'll drop down to verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you rightly say that I'm a king. For this cause, the reason I'm here, and for this cause, that I should bear witness to the truth. Jesus is the witness of the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. John 10:27 said, my sheep, they hear my voice. They hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger's voice, nah. Amen. So what's he saying? He's saying, I bear witness to the truth. My sheep hear truth and they follow truth. Amen. They follow truth. Hallelujah. And then here comes the clincher in verse 38. And Pilate says to him, what is truth? What is truth? Man, nowadays, you've got to ask that. What is truth? Amen? So we need to answer Pilate's question. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't you think that would be a good thing to do? Here is the definition of truth according to Webster's 1828 dictionary, the very first dictionary that was ever compiled. So I think if you go back to the beginning, you're probably going to get a fairly accurate definition. Amen? Truth is conformity to fact or reality. This true state of things. Not what somebody thinks, but what it actually is with your own eyes. Look at it. Amen? With your own eyes, look at it. Or exact accordance to what is, was, or will be. In other words, it doesn't change. Often exemplified by fidelity, which just means integrity, sincerity, or correctness of speech, character, and actions, And listen to this. It draws heavily from biblical examples of God's faithfulness and truth. Do you see that? Noah, he's my man. Amen. He always puts in there the Bible. Amen. So truth is exemplified in the Word of God. Truth. Amen. Truth. Praise God. Let me read some more here. It is abiding by precision, or conformity to a rule, standard, or pattern. There's a set thing here. Amen. Truth is a standard that cannot be altered, replaced, or abandoned. It is an absolute. It's from its establishment, it does not deviate from its original meaning. This is truth. This is what real truth is. Amen? It does not change over time and is not subject to social desires or new ways of thinking, nor is it up for debate. Amen. Truth is concrete in what it states, and it leaves no room for compromise or deviation. You can say it like this. It is what it is. It's not going to change. Truth, real truth, is not going to change. Amen? Hallelujah. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Hallelujah. The word change there means to be given to change or to be persuaded. Amen? Have you ever been persuaded to believe something other than what you know is truth? I think everybody has to one degree or another. Amen. Hallelujah. So anything that would cause one to start to doubt, that's what Satan did to Eve. Did God really say? Are you sure about that? Anything to cause you to doubt what you believe in. Amen. Hallelujah. James 1:8 says that this is a double-minded person and they're unstable in all their ways. They're unstable in all their ways. Amen. Hallelujah. So you got to look at it like this. Just think for a moment. Everybody here, you know, go back. Okay, let's do it this way. Go back to when you first got born again, like me. Amen. Don't know really a whole lot. But you knew enough that you knew that you were taught that God loves you and that God forgives you. He'll wash you with His blood. Amen. But just suppose for a minute that in the whole universe, you sin one day and God changed His mind. Where would you be now? You'd be nothing. Amen? Just suppose God changed His mind about you. You know what? I kind of overlooked some of the other things, but this one here, oh man. Wow. You know, you were so dumb to do that. Amen? And He changed His mind. No. The Word says, I change not. That's what I had to stand on, amen, and to establish myself on until I got myself to believe that no matter what I did, if I'd come to Him and ask Him to forgive me, then 1 John 1:9 is good. Amen. What does it say? He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you just don't get any better than that. Amen. Amen. I tell you what, while we were in praise and worship, I was just thanking God for everything, how good He is to me. Amen. That I didn't deserve anything that I got, but God, through His Son, said, "You are worthy." Amen. I stand on that truth. I don't care about anything else. Amen. That holds me in place. And nobody's going to persuade me otherwise. Nobody. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul said, I am persuaded neither life nor death nor angels, amen, nor principalities or powers is ever going to separate me from the love of God. I'm persuaded. Amen. Ah, that's so good, man. We could just go home now. We've gotten enough. Amen. Praise God. So this is true. Now let's go and look at this in John 17. Let's just move back one chapter. John 17. Hallelujah. Now we're going to get into some things here, so just kind of bear with me a little bit, but we want to read some things here. In verse 14, Jesus again, he's praying for himself, his disciples, and later on we find out that it's for us as well. Amen. In verse 14, he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. Then here in verse 17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. At the end of that, there's a period. Not a comma. Period. Your word is truth. Period. That's all you have to have. Amen. Hallelujah. And I thought about this in John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the word. Let's put truth in there too. In the beginning was the truth, and the truth was with God, and the truth was God. Because the word and the truth are synonymous. Amen. They are the same. Amen. But think about that. He says that the ones he's praying for us, he said, we're not of this world, so that's why the world hates us. We don't think like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't do like the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you want someone not to like you, just speak truth to them. If they're not a believer. Now, if they're a believer, they should. Amen. Or they should say, thank you for showing me that. I did not realize that. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you're going to be rebuked, you ought to be at least, you know, you ought to be rebuked by the word. Amen. Hallelujah. So, why would the world hate us for speaking truth? Well, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. That's the reason. Amen? It's not that they don't even know why. You can find that out by just asking people, well, why do you believe that? I just do. But why? Tell me why. Show me. Show me something that I can look on that's going to convince me that what you're telling me is the truth. And they can't. They can't. Amen? Because their minds are veiled. They don't know what truth is. They don't know what to believe. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he said this in verse 15. He says, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but just keep them from the evil one. Amen. So removing the church from the earth is not going to help anybody. Amen. Because if the true church is not here, then truth is not here. There's no standard anymore. Because everything that God has, he has given to the church. We are the fullness of him. Amen. So if we're gone, there's no more truth. There's no standard. There's nothing that anybody can believe that they can anchor themselves in. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, now, want to get moving here. So, first of all, we're going to see what truth is not. Amen. What truth is not. Praise God. Truth is not opinion. Truth is not opinion. Amen. In Acts 17, verse 11, speaking of the Bereans, it says they were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians in that they received the word with all readiness, but they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Today we call that fact-checking. Get your facts straight. Amen? This is all the checking you'll ever need. Amen. It's not an opinion. It's not based on your experiences. Amen. Or their thoughts. Well, this is what I think. Man, come on. Opinions are just like noses. Everybody's got one. Amen. It's not an opinion. It's not based on anything you went through. There's a lot of things that I haven't went through that the first church went through, but I still believe they did go through it, amen, and for my benefit, so that I don't have to go through it now. Amen? We need to thank these people for what they did. And when we get to heaven, we need to definitely shake their hand and tell them, thank you, thank you, thank you, amen, for helping me through this, amen? So truth's got to be based on something greater than ourselves. It's got to be based on something. It's got to be established on what is in God's word. Amen? Hallelujah. Second one, truth is not based on what you are going through. Everybody goes through troubles. Everybody has issues. Everybody has bad things that happen. Amen? Just because you're a Christian doesn't exempt you from going through things. Amen? But that is not truth. That's just a fact. Hallelujah. We say like this in John 16, 33, Jesus said this, in the world you will have tribulation. That's a fact. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's the truth. You're going to have tribulation. Don't worry. Be happy. Amen. I've overcome the world for you. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says this, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. That's a fact. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That's the truth. Two different things here. Amen. You got to keep your focus on eternal things. You got to keep your nose in this book. Amen. And not let your troubles dictate how you live. Amen. Or what you say. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not based on what you're going through. Remember Joseph? You remember how ill-treated he was? Amen. Sold into slavery. Ends up in Potiphar's house, gets accused of trying to molest his wife, thrown into prison, amen. Sees the baker and the butcher or whatever, candlestick maker or something. Yeah. The butler and the baker. He tells them their dreams. They come out just like he says, amen. And he tells the butler, remember me when you get out, which he does not. Amen. Until the king starts having some really bad dreams. Hallelujah. And then, oh, you know what? I remember a guy, I can't think of his name right now, but he was in prison the same time I was, and he was able to tell us about our dreams. What happens then? Go get him. from prison to the palace in one day. Circumstances change, folks. Circumstances change. Amen. You know, there's been a lot of times that I've went through stuff and it was just like, you know, am I going to pull through this or not? I don't know if you noticed this or not, but I'm here now. I pulled through them. Amen. I pulled through them. Hallelujah. Maybe I had to go through some stuff that I probably shouldn't have had to go through, but I still came through by the mercy and the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. And you, everybody in here has probably got a story. Hallelujah. How God brought you through. Amen. Brought you into a wide place. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. What's our next one? Oh, yeah. Truth does not change with the times. Psalm 119:89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven." Forever. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not up for debate. It's not, you know, it's not anything that can change. The Lord told me this. He said, the word of God is living, but it is not evolving. Amen. What's evolving me? Well, you know, from goo to the zoo to you. That's evolving. The word of God doesn't. Amen. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same. Amen. It's not going to change. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's do another one. You want to do another one? Let's do another one. Amen. Truth is not based on personal preferences or desires. Well, this is how I think it should go. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not based on what I think. I think a lot of things, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'll think I want something to eat, and then all of a sudden I've changed my mind. So it's not based on personal preferences. My preference just changed. That's not truth. Amen. Got to look at it that way. Keep things in perspective. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not what I think, not I want. Amen. 2 Timothy, let's go there. 2 Timothy 4. Are you getting anything out of this? I hope you are. 2 Timothy 4, let's look at verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine," that's truth, "but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth." Do you see that? "And be turned aside to fables." Now look what Paul tells Timothy here. "But you be watchful in all things." Endure afflictions. That's the persecution that comes with standing on the truth. Endure. You be watchful. Amen. Don't be gullible. I've never seen so many gullible people. And Christians are included in that. They'll believe anything. "Well, we just want to walk in love." No, what you are is a doormat that the world is wiping its poo-poo feet on every day. Amen. And you need to get up, go through the laundry cycle, get washed up, and never be at the door stoop again. Amen. You know, whenever they say a doormat and it says welcome on it, that's how believers are. Welcome. Then they walk in. That's how a lot of believers are. Amen. I'm sorry if I've hurt you, but it's just the way it is. You need to pull up the welcome mat. Amen. My wife says that we're not putting anything that says welcome.
Not on the front side.
Not on, you know, you remember it says, you know, welcome us. They said, no, we're not doing that because we don't know if we want to welcome you or not. So we'll just leave it off. And hopefully you'll get the hint and not stop. Now, you all are welcome, okay? You all are welcome. But, you know, that's how believers are. Amen? Proverbs 14:12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a person, but its end is death. It seems right. Well, I think this is what I'm going to do. Well, this should be okay. Amen? What are you basing that on? Basing on what? Well, why not how I feel right now. Amen? No, you can't do that. Here's another one. Truth is not an option. You can't use truth just when it's convenient and it proves you right. And then the rest of the time, you forget about it. Amen? You can't be doing that. That's a no-no. Amen? You can't do it when everything else is not working right. Amen? Paul had to come to this realization. He thought he was walking in truth. In Acts chapter 9, remember on the road to Damascus, remember when he got the letters from the high priest that if he could find any of them in the way, that he could bring them to Jerusalem, whether they be man or woman, amen, and put them in jail. And then all of a sudden, this light from heaven knocks him off his horse. And the first thing he says is, who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, it is me, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Amen. Then all of a sudden, everything that he thought, he gets struck blind. He goes and he's 3 days without sight. And it says that during that time, he was listening to what the Holy Spirit had to say. He was teaching him how to change what he thought. Amen. He came to know the truth. He came to know the truth that God wanted him to know. Amen. And not what he thought he knew. Amen. Do you believe that? Come on now. Help me out here a little bit. Praise God. Let's see here. Where do we want to go? Now we want to go and look at what truth is. Hallelujah. We've already established that God's word is truth in John 17:17. Amen. And since God's word is truth, it can't be altered. It can't be watered down. It can't be versioned out, as some do. Amen. Or I don't know. It's beyond me. Amen. So you have to base everything that you want. Every bit of knowledge that you'll ever need is here. This is going to make your way straight. Amen. It's going to get you where you need to go. Pastor Mark just talked about this a while ago, you know, that Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor or are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you. Now, the Amplified says that his burden is light and easy to bear. Light and easy. I like light and easy, don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Do you ever get so bogged down in thinking about something, pondering something? You get a headache. You're sweating profusely, and I don't know what else. Amen. But Jesus said, "Just take my yoke. That's a truth. It's light, so light, so easy for you to bear." Amen. Well, how is it light and easy to bear? You just believe me. Amen. It's not about you. I don't know why we get the idea it's all about us. Amen. I'm the one who's going to have to figure this out. I'm the one who's going to have to do this. I'm the one. Amen. You're not the one. God is the one. Amen. God is the one who does it. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, my son, attend to my words, for they are life to you. Amen? They are life. Attend. Meditate on my words. Just keep that in your thinking. Amen. And you won't have all the troubles that you have. Praise God. It'll lighten your load. Amen. Hallelujah. John 14:27, Jesus said, I leave you peace, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives you peace do I give you. Amen. That word peace there that he talks about means to join together or to set at one again. So whenever you're in peace, you're at one with God. You're not fighting, you're just resting. Amen. And that's what we as believers need every day. Amen. Hallelujah. So truth is that perfect peace. I heard this one time from somebody. It says that lies must be maintained, but truth has no labor in it. Amen. You don't have to have a good memory if you just tell the truth. But if you tell a lie, 10 times out of 10, you're going to have to tell another lie to substantiate the one that you just told. Amen. So you're going to have to maintain it. You're going to have a real good memory. Now, wait a minute. That's why so many people take the fifth whenever they're on the witness stand. Because all they know are lies. You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. If you take the fifth, yeah, you got caught. Amen. Because if you're telling the truth, what have you got to hide? Nothing. Amen. You have nothing to hide. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, we're getting ready to close here. Here's another one. Truth is God's established path. Truth is God's established path. Proverbs 4:18 says this, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The path of the just keeps getting brighter. John 14:26, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There you go. See? Somebody tells you that there's another way. No, there's no other way. I don't care who it is or what it was, how long ago it lived. Amen. Let me tell you something. They're all dead, but Jesus is alive. Amen. John 16:13 says this, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Amen? So get in with the Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all truth, not some, but all truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's another one. I think we're about done with this one. But truth brings order. Truth brings order. Amen? Truth is like a turnstile. Do you know what a turnstile is? Do you know, like at events when there's a crowd, they got these turnstiles where only one person can go through at a time? It's orderly. It's not mass chaos. Amen? Everybody goes through orderly. That's what the Word of God does. It brings order to your life. Everything that you need, it just brings order to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalm 37:23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That word ordered there means prearranged, destined, prepared to make provision or ordain. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is the year of the fix, and one of the definitions is the word fix means that it's already prearranged. That's what the word does. It prearranges everything. Amen. You were preordained, amen, to adoption as sons and daughters. You haven't inherited all. You need to read Ephesians chapter 1. Man, that's a good one. That's real good. I love reading that. And I, every place it says you or son, I say I. Me. This is about me. This book is all about me. And it's all about you. If you'll believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. So it establishes you on a firm foundation. If you use the Word of God for anything and everything that you need, you'll always receive from God, because the answer to His, when you pray to Him, is yes. Amen. It's always yes. And you'll get the direction to strengthen your knee, praise God. But you're going to have a little bit of a struggle. Philippians 3:14, Paul said this. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. I press toward it. I have to fight. Amen. I believe, now this is just my opinion, okay? But I believe that the reason that a lot of believers don't fight is because they've never tasted real, true victory. Now, they're born again. They're going to heaven. Amen. But that's way over there. Amen. I really believe. That's just me. That's just me. Now, that may not be you at all, and if that's not, that's fine. But I really believe that a lot of people won't fight because they've never really ever tasted victory before. And once you tasted, remember what it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen? If you've tasted it, then you'll want more of it. And you'll fight for it. You'll do anything it takes to get it done. Amen? See, that's the thing. Praise God. Now, you know, if you don't agree with me, that's fine. Just don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I've kept the faith. I fought. I kept. Amen. I finished everything that needed to be done. I'm ready to go. Amen. Hallelujah. John 8:31 and 32 says this, if we abide in His word, then we are His disciples and we shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Amen. If we're abiding in His word. If we're abiding in truth, then we know truth. Amen. It's just the way it is. It's a no-brainer. Amen. You don't have to have a college education to think this through. Some old hillbilly from Perry County knows that. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we look at one more? We're going to close here. One more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Version. Amen. And then we'll close with this. Rather, let our lives lovingly express truth in all things. Speaking truly, dealing truly, living truly, enfolded in love, let us grow up in every way and in all things unto Him who is the head, even Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Amen. So let our lives express truth in everything. How we speak, how we operate, how we do things. Amen. Just let that come out. Praise God. We'd all be surprised, amen, to see what would happen if we would start just truly living the way that God wants us to live by expressing truth in everything that we do. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.